Today on The Journey.
God always makes for happy endings. When we pass the promises, when we have a plan, when we depend on others, when we depend on God, it's a happy ending, not only in this life, but through all eternity.
The hinges of history are just as important as the doors to which they're fastened. They allow one era to pass into another with a push from the sovereign hand of God. Today, Ron Moore shares the story of a hinge couple who connected two eras of God's chosen nation. It's a story that demonstrates his faithfulness to all generations. Also, along with today's message, we want you to have a copy of Ron's book, Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step spiritual journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with Passing the Promises on the Journey.
Because so many of you have served and sacrificed, today in our country we live in freedom. And because so many of you took on a huge responsibility at a very, very young age, we are worshiping here today in freedom. And we are grateful to you for passing freedom to a new generation. Freedom is certainly not the only thing that we must pass from one generation to another. As Christians, we have the responsibility to pass the promises of God, the promises of His love, the promises of having a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, the promises of all the spiritual blessings that we have in knowing Christ. If so many of you had not taken on the responsibility to fight for your country, we would not be living in freedom today. And if we as Christians don't take on the responsibility to pass along the promises of God to our children and to our grandchildren, not only will their lives be altered, but their eternity will be altered as well. Today we come to a story with a very happy ending. It's a story how a man and a woman are brought together by God so that the promises of God could be passed down to future generations. It's a story of God's faithfulness. It's a story of God's sovereignty. It's a story of God's providence as He works through the mundane circumstances of life to accomplish eternal things. It's a story of passing the promises of God to the next generation. And what I want to do this morning is to tell the story by putting forth seven principles that I believe we must apply if we are going to pass the promises of Christ to our children and grandchildren. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis chapter 24, Abraham is now a very old man. He has been greatly blessed by God, and God has given him some tremendous promises and taken him through some difficult tasks. The love of his life, Sarah, has died. And Abraham himself now is feeling the weight of human mortality. God promised Abraham that through him a great nation would come, a nation that would represent God and honor God. And Abraham knew that if that promise was going to be passed along, if that promise was actually going to happen, he had his son Isaac, but it had to stop there if, in fact, he didn't do something. And so chapter 24 is all about Abraham securing a godly wife for Isaac. Look at chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country, to my own relatives, and get a wife for my son Isaac." Now, the first principle we learn as we walk through this story is that passing the promises is my responsibility. That's the last we're going to hear of Abraham in this story. In fact, in chapter 25, we learn that Abraham dies and then he passes off the scene. He is not the main character in this story, but he is the main initiator of the story. He knows it's his responsibility to make certain that his son Isaac has a godly wife. My responsibility to pass on the promises really exists in three areas. The first area is my home. It is my responsibility. It is your responsibility. No one else's. To pass the promises to your children and to make sure you live in such a way that your words match your actions. It's my responsibility and your responsibility, no one else's, to pass the values and morals to your children from a biblical perspective. It is my responsibility and your responsibility and no one else's to demonstrate what it means to live as a Christian mother or a Christian father. And if our children don't learn those values, don't learn those morals from us, then who in the world? Where in the world are they going to learn them? My responsibility to pass down the promises not only ends in my family, but as we come together as a church family, we have the responsibility to hand off the biblical packages of promises to another generation. Not only our home, not only a church, but also to the community. They're your neighbors and they're mine. It's our responsibility to pass the promises down to them. Passing the promises to our children, to our church, to our community. The number two, passing the promises involves the help of the right people. Well, Abraham's old. He knows he's not going to be around much longer. And he knows he's going to be unable to go to his relatives to find a wife. And so he recruits his trusted servant, not named in this chapter, probably Eliezer is his name. We learn his name in a previous chapter. Look at verse 5. The servant asked him, "What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to the land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from?" "Make sure that you do not take my son back there," Abraham said. "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, 'To your offspring I will give you this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master, Abraham, and he swore an oath to him concerning the matter. There's some values that we can't teach our children on our own. We need the help of others. Just like Abraham knew if this was going to happen, he had to get a trusted servant, Eliezer, to go back and secure the wife. We realize that we cannot teach our children everything there is to know about the spiritual promises. It's our responsibility, but we appreciate so much those who have taught our children in Sunday school and children's church and Pioneers Club and Boys Brigade and youth groups. They are passing the promises to our children and many other children. We're excited that our youth leaders are guys who can connect to our youth and help us as parents and you as parents pass the promises. Our oldest daughter went to college this year. This Thursday night, we were at a banquet and we were sitting at the table with a godly wife and mother here, and she said that she'd been emailing Brittany back and forth. You know how much that meant to us? To have Brittany get an email from a godly wife and mother once a week or so, and that's so appreciative for her to take the time to do that. That means a lot to us. Yeah, it's our responsibility, But if you're going to pass the promises, you need the help of a lot of people. Are you getting the right help? Do you surround them with people who will carry on the values and morals that you bestow in your home? It's our responsibility, but if we're going to pass the promises, we need the help of others. Here's a third principle. Passing the promises needs a plan. Abraham knew God was sovereign. Abraham had seen that God was going to get his will accomplished. But he also knew, in most cases, God accomplishes his will through the involvement of people with a plan. Abraham's plan was for Eliezer to go back to Abraham's people and to secure a wife for Isaac. And Eliezer had a prayerful plan as well. He took 10 camels with him. He took all kinds of gifts and jewels with him. And he left for the town of Nahor. Now, I won't read the whole story, but let's just read through it. Look at verse 11. When he got there, he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, time that women go out to draw water. That was the custom of the day. In the evening, the women of that village went out to draw water. Look at verse 12. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to your master." He has a prayerful plan. And that plan comes to fruition. Again, we won't take the time to read this, but before he finishes praying, Rebecca comes out. And he watches her for a while. He sees that she's very beautiful. He goes over to her. He asks for a drink. And she says, "Here, have a drink, and let me water your camels as well." Eliezer works the plan. Passing the promise needs a plan. Prayed for a certain thing to happen. He was looking for a certain woman for Isaac, industrious, kind, hospitable. Here's a woman, Scripture tells us, who is very beautiful. She's a virgin. You can probably tell that by her dress. And those were the characteristics he was looking for. Passing the promise needs a plan. What's your plan? To pass the promises of God to your children. It's got to include things like reading the Bible with them. It's got to include things like praying with them. If the next generation is going to grow up and say, "Church is important in my life," then it's going to mean some sacrifices on our part to demonstrate that bringing them to church and worshiping is more important than a lot of other stuff. You need a plan to pass along the promises to your family. See, it's your responsibility. You need other people to help you, but you got to have a plan. Number four, passing the plan requires faith. There are three components of faith we see in this passage. Number one is you need to pray. Prayer is critical in this faith exercise. Look at verse 12. Eliezer, then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside the spring. The daughters of the town people are coming to draw water. May it be that when I say to the girl, 'Please let down your jar that I might have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water the camels too,' let her be the one you've chosen for Isaac." What types of prayers are you putting forth for your children? What types of prayers are you putting forth for your neighbors? Number two, faith requires trust. Trusting for divine guidance through the circumstance. Look at verse 21. When Eliezer saw that Rebecca had come and she had given him a drink and she was giving water to his camels, look at verse 21. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. He's watching her. He's trusting God to see if God is showing him through the circumstances that she's the one. And then the last part of faith is action. You got to do something. It's not passive. It is active. Abraham trusts God. He sends Eliezer to get the wife. Eliezer trusts God, prays, but now he works his plan. I won't read it all, but he calls Rebecca to him. And he says, here is gold and here is jewelry. And is there any place to stay in this village? And she says, yeah, let me go talk to my parents because there's place. And she goes and talks to her parents and they come and get him. And he stays at their home. And he goes through the entire story again. How Abraham sent him. How he prayed that this girl would come and give him a drink and water his camels as well. How he gave her jewelry. The whole plan. He demonstrates that he's putting his plan into action. He goes in faith, prayerfully, trusting, but action as well. I emphasize that because some people think that faith is kind of just trusting God and doing nothing else. God, you just do it for me. And certainly in the end, it is God who does it. But he always involves people with a plan, prayerful plan. It's their responsibility. We work hand in hand with God to pass the promises. Here's a fifth principle. Passing the promises depends on people I will never know. Think about that. Passing the promises to our children, to neighbors, to friends, depends on people I will never know. Abraham knew that in order for God's promise of a great nation to come about, Isaac needed a wife. Abraham had to depend on a girl he didn't know, from a family he didn't know, to have raised this girl with values and virtues important for the wife of his son. Passing the promises means we're going to depend on people we don't even know. When you think about passing the promises to your children, think how dependent you are on people you don't know. Laura and I regularly pray. We have an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 7-year-old. And we regularly pray for the spouses of our children. We don't know them. We pray for future husbands and a future wife. We ask God that they be raised in a home where God is honored. We ask that God protect that marriage of that future spouse and wife, the marriage of their parents, so they come from an intact home. And together, they can start a strong marriage. We pray that that future spouse will remain pure, as we pray our children will remain pure, so they can save themselves for each other. A couple of years ago, someone told us the best thing you can do to pray for your student when they're leaving for college is to pray for their roommates. That was a great piece of advice. So we started praying for Brittany's roommates. And we thank God for a girl named Rebecca and a girl named Adrian who know Christ and who encourage Brittany as she encourages them. It's a great blessing. I know that my kids and your kids will be impacted for Christ by people in their college, at their work, friends, in-laws, work associates, a church full of people I will never know. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. Pray for those people without name. That right now, in the stage of their life, God will be working in their life in such a way that they'll be able to impact our children and your children and our friends and our neighbors for Jesus Christ. Number six, passing the promises is dependent on the work of God. It's our responsibility. We need to get other people involved, the right people involved. It'll depend on people we don't know, but finally, it comes down to God's work. Just a couple verses here. Look at verse 7. Eliezer says, well, wait, what if I go there and I find this girl, and then her parents won't let me bring her back? What do I do then? Look at verse 7. Abraham said, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, 'To your offspring I will give you this land,' he will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there." God's in charge. He's going to take care of it. Look at verse 26. When Eliezer saw what had happened, Rebekah coming out, giving him a drink, watering his camels. Verse 26, he bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." It's God who does the work. Look at verse 50 and 51. When Eliezer explains the plan and what had happened, Laban, Rebekah's brother, and her father, Bethuel, answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." Passing the promises is dependent on the work of God. And He blesses us when we move in faith with a plan to pass the promises. One more. Passing the promises makes for happy endings. Look at verse 62. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai Roi, for he was living in the Negev. And when he went out to the field in the evening to meditate, as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebekah also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He's my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. And then the servant told Isaac all that he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And there at the end of chapter 24 begins a new era of Isaac and Rebekah. God always makes for happy endings. When we pass the promises, when we have a plan, when we depend on others, when we depend on God, it's a happy ending, not only in this life, but through all eternity.
And please stay with us. Just ahead, Ron returns with a look at our next time together. First, a word about our offer of Ron's book, Ignite. In its pages, he leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Wrestling matches with God prove to be defining moments in our lives. That's when the name changes come. Think about it. If your name was the name like Jacob that described your life, what would it be? Warrior, critical, fearful, immoral. When you wrestle with God, that's when the name change comes. And He takes the fear and He brings peace. And He takes the sin and forgives it. And He takes the critical attitude and changes your name to encourager. And He takes the worrying away and changes your name to trust.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount. You can order it online at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.